Very powerful, isn't it? Gives you the whole story, little events leading up to the crucifixion, and cannot be in awe of just you think of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I just want to share just for a few moments this morning about the suffering that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us are probably very familiar with the physical torment that he went through. Many years ago, the Passion movie was out, and I think for the first time, many people got a graphic understanding of the physical torment that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. I want to look at the emotional anguish of the cross and how that can really give us strength as we look to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It says in Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 4, it says this. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." It talks about consider him who was on the cross, and it says to do that so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Some people will get weary and they do lose heart. It's because they take their eyes off Christ and all that he went through for them, all that he went through for us on the cross. And that's what I want to take just a few minutes now, just to very quickly look at Christ on the cross, to consider him so that we will not grow weary and will never lose heart. We know the significance of the cross. We know it's his blood. 1 John 1, 7 says, "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." We know the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ, that without his blood being shed, then there's no forgiveness of our sins. We know the centrality, the significance of his blood being shed upon the cross. It says in 1 Peter 1, 18-19, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So the blood of Jesus Christ, so central, his blood, and that's why we have communion. We remember the little juice representing the blood of Jesus Christ. And again, as I mentioned, his body, which was brutalized for us, the suffering, what was put from in his body, from the crown of thorns to the beatings, to eventually being upon the cross. And it says, in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And so not only is there spiritual healing, the promise of eternal life, there's physical healing available to us because of what went on, because of the stripes, because of the beating, because of the flogging that Jesus went through. By his wounds we've been healed, and there's a healing that we have in Jesus Christ. But very quickly, I just want to look at the area of the emotional agony, the torment that Christ went through on the cross. If you have a look in Mark 14, you can open your Bible there. I'm not going to read specific sections of passages. We don't have time to read it. But in Mark 14 and around verse 32 is where it talks about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you just think about the emotional pain and trauma that you've been through. And I don't think there's anyone who's alive that hasn't been through some sort of emotional pain, strong emotional pain. But I just want you to bear in mind as you go through things, as it said, to consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's a story here of Christ in the garden. And here it says in verse 34, it tells him he took Peter, James and John, the three trusted disciples, along. He says in verse 34 of Mark 14, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay and keep watch." To the point of death. Such was the emotional torment of Christ as he was approaching the cross. He knew what he was going to go through. He knew exactly the degree of agony and pain that he was going to go through. And so he was in a situation of pain that was so overwhelming, he thought that he was going to die just because of the physical pain that he was under. Such was the intensity of the emotional pain that Christ went through. And one of the saddest things in the stories we read about this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is immediately prior to his arrest, is that he has his three most trusted ones. And he says to them, "Stay here and you watch." Christ goes out and he pours out his heart to the Father. "Father, if there's any other way this can be done without having to go through this, Lord, then do it if there's any other way, but Lord, not my will. Your will be done. He pours his heart out. And while he's in this emotional agony, his three best buddies, three closest ones, the three disciples, even John, the one whom he loved, he said, and Peter, the three of them there, Peter, James, and John are all there. And he goes to them at his lowest point in his life, the lowest point in the time when he walked upon this earth, and where he finds his friends asleep. And the saddest thing in all of that is it's earlier the night before when they're having eating the Passover meal together. That's when Peter says, Lord, I'll die for you. If everyone else runs away and leaves you, I'll be the one, I'll actually die with you. And he makes this big speech. And it's interesting when Jesus finds him asleep in the garden, the first one he says, Peter, are you asleep? What did he pick on Peter for? You've got John and you've got James is there, because Peter just makes this wonderful speech. I'm going to be with you to the death. And at his best moment, what does he do? He falls asleep. Not once, not twice, three times they sleep. And so the Lord went through that. People, they let him down when he needed them the most. And then we have also in the garden, we have Judas comes. And how does Judas betray him? Someone that he trusted, someone that he chose himself, someone that he thought he knew he was one of the ones that he put within that inner circle, the closest ones, who comes and betrays him. And how does he betray him? Betrays him with something very intimate, something very personal, is a kiss. And Judas uses something very intimate and personal to be the very thing that betrayed him. And then at the end of the scene in the garden where there's the arrest, or the soldiers come and they grab Jesus and everyone else leaves him. They all run away. And just knows what it was like to feel abandoned, to feel totally alone. All of those things happened to him, the intense emotional pain. People that he was relying on let him down. People that was one of his closest people betrayed him. And then everyone left him. He hadn't even got to the cross yet, and yet he went through all of that emotional pain. And then on the way to the cross, what he endured for us, people insulted him. You've been insulted, someone says something to you, might get upset about it. They lied about him. They're telling lies about him. Even in the court, in the Sanhedrin, they were bearing false testimony. They were telling lies about him. He has Peter, again, the one who said, I'm going to die for you, Jesus. He denies him. And then when Jesus looks at him and looks in the eyes of Peter, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't look at him and saying, what are you doing, Peter? Scripture tells us that when he looks at Peter, he just had nothing but compassion for him. But someone that was so close and had said so much, at the first opportunity, he denies him. Three times he denies him. And then you have the whole crowd that turn upon him. The whole crowd is celebrating him. What a champion. Yay, Jesus. They're all cheering him on. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A week before Palm Sunday, laying down the branches all at his feet, dropping down robes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The whole crowd are cheering him. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. And then at this time, they're turning around. And then before Pilate, they're there saying, crucify him. Kill him. Kill him. And imagine that, all the people that were cheering for you all of a sudden turn around and they're not just against you, they actually want you dead. They're baying for your blood. He went through that. And then when he went off to the Praetorian with the guards, Praetorian guard there, and they're the ones, the palace guard who stripped him, beat him, and they mocked him, the ones who put the crown upon him. The total humiliation of that. Jesus wasn't paraded around with a discreetly piece of robe hanging down him. They took all his clothes off him and divided them up. They cast lot for them. His undergarment, which was woven in one piece, they didn't want to rip that up, they just took it. So Jesus was paraded around naked. When all the movies you see, it's all very discreet for modesty's sake. He was paraded, totally humiliated when he's carrying the cross. They didn't leave him with clothes. All of those was taken, removed by the soldiers, by the Praetorian. And then he gets to the point when, again, so he's all of the ultimate humiliation that Christ has had. Finally, he's up on the cross. And you would think then that out of the people would have some mercy on somebody that had endured so much. But again, total strangers. Here he is, everything just lying there, his body broken and bleeding. And yet total strangers run past and they humiliate him. Some people get upset if somebody cuts them off in the car. Someone says something, they get all upset. Christ is hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying. And total strangers passing by are yelling and saying things to him. The religious leaders are mocking him and saying, go, you're supposed to be so good. Get down from the cross then. You're supposed to be the Messiah. And then to cap it all off, someone else is on the cross with him. as you know, there was a robber on either side, and one of the robbers, who's dying? I mean, his life is over, he's finished. One of them says, forgive me, and acknowledges who Jesus is. He's sinless, he's done nothing, and then Jesus says, you're going to be with me in paradise. But the other one, he's dying, and his last dying breaths, he's there hurling abuse at Jesus Christ. You'd think at least, if you're in the same situation, there'd be some at least degree of empathy. But right up to that last moment, Christ had abuse hurled upon him. And if you just ponder for a moment the cost of all of that emotionally, we go through things and things hurt us. They hurt us deeply. And sometimes when people go through deep hurts and they go through things that really affect them emotionally, they feel like they can't handle it. I can't cope anymore. This is overwhelming. But remember what the scripture said. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because the cross is all about, yes, the bodily death of Christ, his bodily suffering, the sin that was placed upon him. But never forget that all the emotional anguish that Christ went through from the garden to the journey to the cross, even upon the cross, it didn't let up for one moment. Not one moment, not one reprieve, or not one moment to even just a little moment of sanity. There's always somebody pulling him down, someone always attacking him. And sometimes if you feel if people are against you, you're going through some difficulties, never give up. Just remember Christ. Keep your eyes upon him. It says Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Remember when Christ came, he was fully man. He lived this life out of his humanity, not his divinity. He was fully man, fully God, but he lived his life out of his humanity. And he processed all of these things as a man would process them. The betrayals, the letdown, the desertion, the abuse, the humiliation, all of the things. He went through every emotion, all the gambits of every negative emotion hurled and confronting him. And yet through all of that, he was without sin. And he remained without sin despite all of that. And he never gave up. He could have at any time, the scripture tells us, he could call it a legion of angels, snap of his finger, this is too hard, get me out of here, gone. But he didn't. He endured the cross for us. And my encouragement to us is that whenever you're going through difficulties, things that impact you emotionally, and you're struggling, it says to consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. God understands. Jesus understands the pain that you go through. He understands. He's experienced to whatever degree we may have. If we get an 8 or a 9 of emotional pain, he's had a full 10 in all of those areas. And so he knows that he understands. And that's why he's a gracious and loving Lord that is there for us, because he's been there. He knows what it's like. He knows all the gambit of those emotions. And yet he still went through that on the cross for us. I want to close with this scripture, and just before we just have another little time of worship in a moment, Hebrews 10:32-36, it says this. It says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. Our theme this year is shining. Remember the earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in the contents, in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you had for yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And that's my encouragement to us as we remember Easter. Yet Jesus physically went through absolute hell, but he also went through incredible emotional pain and torment for us. And so he understands. If you're going through some struggles, the Lord has been there. He's been there. He knows the pain. He knows what it is to have family desert him, people turn upon him. Whatever struggle that you go through, always remember my Lord. Well, my Lord, he went through that. And it says to consider him so that you will not lose heart and you won't grow weary. And that's my encouragement to you. So, Lord, I just pray for anyone that is struggling, Lord, in whatever areas, Lord, areas of emotional pain or difficulty. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you understand. Lord, you've been there, Lord. You know what it is to have heartache, Lord, to go through all of those things. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you, Lord, not only just as one who saved us, Lord, who saves us and gives us eternal life, but Lord, you give us life, Lord, and you bring meaning and you bring hope and life, Lord, to this life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you've been through that, Lord, so that you can bring your love and grace to us, Lord, and we can turn to you. And Lord, never have to be weary, Lord. You're always there for us, Lord. We can get strength and life from you. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a God who understands our heart and is always there, Lord. And we never forget what you went through, the physical suffering, but Lord, the emotional pain. And Lord, because of that, we have eternal life, Lord. We have healing to our bodies, Lord. We have emotional healing and wholeness too, because you suffered in that way. And Lord, we are so grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.